Didn't know we had such talent here. Yeah, wonderful. Good morning. I have a little story for you this morning about a little girl who went into her bedroom and she pulled off of the shelf a glass jar from its hiding place in the closet. And she poured the change out on the floor and she counted it. And she counted it again. And she counted it again. She counted it three times to be exactly perfect. She had to be perfect. There was no chance here for mistakes. So she placed the coins back in the jar and twisted the lid on tight and headed down the street about six blocks to the Rexall drugstore. And she waited patiently for the pharmacist to give her some attention. But he was busy talking to somebody else. So Tess twisted her feet and she scuffled around. She cleared her throat, made a noise, the most disgusting noise that she could muster. No good. No one paid any attention to her. Finally, she took a quarter out and she slapped it down on the on the counter. And the pharmacist looked up with an annoyed voice and said, "What do you want?" "I'm talking to my brother from Chicago, and we haven't seen each other for ages." Without waiting for an answer to his question, "Well, I want to talk to you about my brother," said Tess. "He's really, really sick, and I want to buy a miracle." "I beg your pardon," said the pharmacist. "His name is Andrew, and he has something bad growing inside his head, and my daddy says only a miracle can save him now." "So how much does a miracle cost?" "Well, we don't sell miracles, little girl. I'm sorry, but I can't help you," the pharmacist said, although his tone did soften a little. "Listen," she said, "I have the money to pay for it. If it isn't enough, I'll get the rest. Just tell me how much it cost." And the pharmacist's brother, who was a well-dressed man, stooped down and said to the little girl, "Well, what kind of a miracle does your brother need?" And Tess said, "I don't know. I just know he's really sick, and Mommy says he needs an operation, but Daddy can't pay for it, so we're going to use my money." "And how much do you have?" said the man from Chicago. "I have $1.11. It's all the money I have, but I can get more if I need to." And the man in the suit said, $1.11 is exactly the price for a miracle for little brothers." He grabbed her hand and he took the money in the other hand. He said, "Take me to where you live and I'll see if I don't have the miracle that your brother needs." Well, this well-dressed man was Dr. Armstrong, who was a neurosurgeon. And so he completed that surgery free of charge. And it wasn't long until Andrew was home again with Mom and Dad and doing well. And they were talking about the chain of events. "That surgery," said Mom, "was really a miracle. I wonder what it really cost." But Tess knew what it really cost. It was $1.11 plus the faith of a little child. Now, many of us have probably heard this story before, but it's one I never get tired of. It reminds me that miracles happen all the time. Last night I had the opportunity to go to the American Cancer Society dinner at Change Point, and there were people who got up and told their stories of being cancer survivors. Miracles happen all the time. And just as beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, the miracles that we have are in the eyes of the beholder as well, aren't they? Some people could say that little girl was just lucky. It was a coincidence that she was in the right place at the right time. But we here, we don't believe in coincidence. We know that it was divine appointment that put her in that place at that time. And what I see is she stated her truth fully, expecting it to be realized. She said it with no doubt. She claimed it. She was a revealer of the truth. And this story shows us the limitlessness of possibilities and that miracles can happen to us every day and that our answers come in many forms. Ernest Holmes said, "We believe that any person may become a revealer of the truth who lives in close contact with the indwelling God." And, you know, as children, we're usually in close contact because we haven't had all that stuff that comes in to cause to doubt. Each one of us is a revealer of the truth. Each one of us gets to choose our own experiences. We can choose freedom or we can choose bondage. The choice is up to us. We can choose to create good in our lives or not. We can choose. And all of the experiences are part of the all-inclusiveness of the divine, aren't they? Everything. Each one of us is an expression of God, just like each drop of water is a part of the ocean. And we know the ocean is made up of many, many drops of water. We are it. You are it. Part of the divine. And each of us has free will. We have the power to choose our thoughts. We have the power to choose our journey. We have the power to pick where it is we want to go. But the other side of that coin is we are also responsible for what results from the choices that we make. We are responsible for the outcome, the good ones and the not so good ones. We are responsible. When we are out of harmony with spiritual laws, we can experience what some people call evil. And when we come back into harmony with spiritual laws, we get to change that experience. We get to experience good. We've often heard we are not punished for our mistakes. We are punished by them. Which means that we get to experience the results of our actions. Whatever we do comes back to us because the law is impersonal and it always says yes, which is why I keep telling you to watch what you say because we want the good things to happen. Now, when I was a kid, I liked to lay out in the yard and look up at the sky and look at the clouds in the daytime and look at the clouds and see what I could see in the clouds. And I saw all kinds of things. Did you ever do that? You saw dragons and angels and you saw dogs and ponies and lions. Yeah, we got to see a lot of things because we had such a great imagination. And at night we could lay down and we could look at the stars and there was this just vast, vast array of stars. Did you ever wonder what was beyond those stars? Or how many stars there might be. You know, it's just infinity. Isn't infinity something very difficult to imagine? I cannot imagine how far those stars go because they keep recreating themselves. God is the infinite creator of all things. And infinite to me seems awfully big, awfully big. And if infinite is all that big, and we know that God is infinite, then we know there's an awful lot to God, don't we? More than we can encompass in our little brains here. And it goes on and on and on, beyond the stars, beyond the stars, beyond the space, just more and more and more. And we're told that God is everywhere. So that means that God is in you and God is in me. It's personal to me and my life, and it's personal to you and your life, and it still moves way out beyond the stars. So what that tells me is life can be and is, for most of us, a great adventure, isn't it? Ernest Holmes says in The Science of Mind, there is that within every individual which partakes of the nature of the universal wholeness, and insofar as it operates, is God. So you and I are part of it, aren't we? Imagine, we are part of God. You're it. You are it. You are part of the infinite, that great, vast, unlimited potential. You're part of it. How big can you stretch your mind? How much can you encompass? What do we say here? How big is your bucket? How much can you hold? What is it that might be standing between you and your vision of what you might become, of what you might do with your life, of what you might have? What would happen if you stopped and became clear and made the statement like that little girl did with all of her belief about what you want from life? How would that change what you're doing today? Would that change what you're doing today? What if you declared your end result? What if you declared what it is you really want and then got out of the way? Yeah, got out of God's way and let it happen, because most of us have a tendency to try to tell God how to do it, don't we? It doesn't always work the way we think it should. And what we know about the infinite is it goes on forever, and we never get there because there keeps moving. So the thing that we choose to do is to enjoy the moment, to enjoy the journey, to enjoy what we experience. We embrace the good that's currently happening in our lives. And we don't wait till someday when we get to that place that keeps moving. It keeps moving. Each one of us has within us all the qualities of God. And as we open to the truth of our, we express more of that one life, that one presence that truly is the truth of who we are. Ernest Holmes says in A New Design for Living, at all times, we are creating the life we live. The ability consciously and specifically to better our life depends upon the degree to which we're able to believe in our basic concepts of the nature of life with faith. So how many of you remember this cartoon character? Do you remember him? Joe, his name was, and I can't pronounce his last name. They say you do it like a raspberry, so that's how his name is pronounced. We've all seen this cartoon, right? And don't you know some people that remind you of that when you see them? Are you ever that way? Oh. Some people walk around with a cloud over their head and calamities just waiting to happen. No matter what they do, something goes awry. And people used to avoid Joe because they didn't want it to rub off on him. A lot of people can create disharmony and havoc wherever they go. And when we get to know them, we figure out why it happens, don't we? Why is this happening to me? Oh my goodness, no matter what I do, it turns to stuff. You know, it just doesn't matter. I can't seem to get a job. And if I get a job, I can't seem to keep a job. And it goes on and on and on and on. And as we listen to that, we understand, what are they creating for themselves? And we all sometimes affirm a little negativity. I know I do once in a while, maybe a little more often than once in a while. Why is this happening to me? Why me, God? Why not him? Why does this always happen when I do that? Yeah, no, why not him? Why does this always happen when I do that? Sound familiar? What if there was a way to change that? What if there was a way to change that? The last couple of weeks, we've talked about doing affirmations, right? Personal, powerful, positive, present tense. Write down what it is you choose. I am, I know, I do. Look at what it is. Look at what isn't working. Look at what isn't working, and then figure out what it is that you need to do to change that and affirm that. Affirm that change. Affirm that positive thing. Foundations class. That's what we teach, isn't it? Affirm the positive. Know the truth for yourself. God is good all the time. And when we can clear away the false stuff, we get to understand truth with a capital T, truth. We get to know the truth of who we are. We are it, aren't we? Each and every one of us is an individualized expression of God. Each and every one of us is as much a part of God as that drop of water is part of the ocean. We are it. Okay. So what we can do is take the opportunity when stuff happens to change how we look at it. I lost my job, ain't it awful? Or, look, I never did like that job anyway. And now I have an opportunity to find something that I really enjoy doing, to put my arms around something that gives me pleasure. Joy. Huh. Just looking at it in a different way. Some of these things that happen to us could be a blessing in disguise. We had a young man here who told me I had permission to tell his story, and he lost his job and he wanted to move to Washington, and he found out he couldn't move to Washington because he couldn't draw unemployment in Alaska and Washington. He was in foundations class, and so we worked on this affirmation, and we worked on the feeling of it, what the new job would feel like. On Thursday, that was on Thursday. On Sunday, he came to church, and he said, I've been offered a new job in Richland, Washington, and he's there now. You know, this stuff works. It really does work. Truth is manifesting around us all the time. All those people at the cancer dinner last night, truth is manifesting through them. New technology comes up. New treatment programs come up. New things happen. New things happen. Holistic things happen. New things happen all the time that allows us to grow in truth, to grow in wholeness. God in the pill and God in the prayer. Know that when we pray, when we speak our words with faith and conviction, that's a key. Faith and conviction, we can create, we do create a new experience. Faith and conviction are channels for spirit. It actually taps into the consciousness behind our words. It taps into that consciousness. You are it. You are a substance of life. I am a substance of life. Every being is expressing God in a different way. Every being is expressing a perfect spiritual idea coming into form. Every being, no matter what we think we're experiencing in the moment, no matter what the appearance seems to be, the truth of who we are is an individualized expression of God, and we have the capacity to realize it. We have the capacity to embrace it. We have the capacity to express it and declare it and accept it. The basis from which man is evolving, says Ernest Holmes, is infinite. Behind him is the great unknown, but not the great unknowable. Huh. As a result of the discovery that he could think, plan, and execute, man has built up a great civilization. He has perceived that nature works through him in order to work for him. That's from The Science of Mind, page 72. And it works within you and as you because you're it. You are part of that divine presence. Look how far we've come in the last thousands of years from living in a cave and finding fire and creating the wheel to the technology that we have today. Remember when Star Wars was... We thought it was really funny when they'd flip open their phone and, you know, and how, you know, beam me up, Scotty. But how many of us today have our communicators and we thought it was all science fiction and it happened and it happened. Within you is something that knows the truth. Within you, no teacher, no minister, no practitioner can know the truth for, can make us know the truth for ourselves. They can know the truth for you. They can know the truth of who you are, but they cannot make you know that truth about yourself. That is an inside job. Each one of us must know it on our own. And oftentimes it comes as just a huge aha moment, doesn't it? Wow, that's so amazing. Who knew? Well, somebody did. The infinite intelligence of divine mind reveals the truth to our consciousness. And when we are open and ready and receptive to hear it, we get to have those aha moments. The more we align ourselves with our inner wisdom, the more we listen to our intuition, the more we listen to that still small voice within, which is talking to us all the time, if only we will still our minds and listen, the more in tune and in alignment we come, and the better our life becomes. Isn't that true? We live and we reveal the truth of our being. We are it. God expresses itself through us. We are, each one of us, a divine expression of the One, no exceptions, all of us. All, this is from Creative Mind, all that we have believed in which contradicts the, all that we have believed in which contradicts the perfect whole must be dropped from our thought. And we must come to realize that we are now living in a perfect universe peopled with perfect spiritual beings, each of whom, coupled with the great divinity, is complete within him or herself. Each one of us is complete within ourselves. Each one of us is individualized expression of God. How empowering is it for you to know that? How empowering is it when we understand the truth of who we are, and when we understand how the law works and how we can use it? The law is there. It simply says yes. It's up to us to direct it. When we don't understand the law, we can use it to put ourselves in bondage. When we do understand the law, when we choose our thoughts, we can choose freedom and peace. We can choose abundance and joy. What do you want to choose today? I must experience through the impersonal action of law the results of the choices that I've made. So I want to make good choices. I want to take it within. I want to listen to that intuition. So your homework for this week is to listen to your inner wisdom and pay attention to your thoughts. Are some of them out of alignment with the truth of your being? And if so, what do you need to do? What do you need to think? What do you need to affirm to bring those things into alignment? We can choose good consciously. And so what I'm going to have you do again today is to repeat an affirmation that we used to say all the time, to repeat this affirmation with me. Good and more good is mine today. An ever-increasing good is mine today. There is no limit to the good.
There is no limit to the good.
And so please join me in prayer.